In Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 to 18, that we have already read earlier, an account of an interesting occurrence in the life of Nehemiah and in the city of Jerusalem is given to us. This record gives detail of Nehemiah engaged in a survey carried out at night, an inspection of the city of Jerusalem with its ruined walls and gates. There were very few people with him, very few, just a select few, and it was carried on in a most circumspect way and in a thorough way. But there were difficulties with it because there was so much debris that they couldn't even find room for the beast upon which he was riding to get through. But he saw enough of the situation to know how mammoth the task was. And then whenever he had finished with that, he went to the authorities, and we find that in verse 17, and he said to them, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." And then he summoned them, "Come and let us build the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." And that received a most ready response from the people who heard him, as Nehemiah informed them that he was called of God, that the good hand of his God was upon him, and the way had been opened up for him to come to Judea, and in Jerusalem in particular, to lead in this great work. Now, what prompted Nehemiah to give up on a lucrative position that he had in the palace of King Artaxerxes? What was it that prompted him to leave that, at least for the time that he was to leave it? Well, the answer is this: God called him to it, and God had put the burden and the desire upon the heart and mind of Nehemiah for this particular matter. Nehemiah tells us very clearly in verse 12 that it was of the Lord. Notice the words: "And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem." Nehemiah had a heart for God's work. He had a heart particularly for the state of Jerusalem. And he's telling us here that God had put the matter in his heart, laid the matter upon him, and that's what prompted him to come in this particular mission and assignment. And ladies and gentlemen and young people, that's what we all need. We need a heart for God's work. And it may well be that God is working in the heart of some here for a specific purpose, a specific task that he wants for you to do. So let's look at this here as we see this tremendous statement of Nehemiah's. "Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem." I want you to notice simply three matters about his statement. First of all, the activity that Nehemiah purposed. This man was sensing the call of God, and he knew that he wasn't going to be lazing around. He said, "Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do." So there was going to be work involved here. Now, what was the nature of that work? Well, we could see enough from the reading that it was a building work. It was going to be intense. It was going to be laborious. It was going to be prolonged. It would be in Jerusalem, the capital city of God's people, the Jews. It had walls that once were high and thick, gates that once were tall and strong. But all of that now was a thing of the past. Whenever the exiles went back under the edict of Cyrus that we read of at the end of 2 Chronicles and the opening part of the book of Ezra, the people got some things seen to, but these things were never attempted to be rectified until one day. And Nehemiah chapter 1 gives us the details. Nehemiah had some visitors, some brethren of his, some relatives, and among them there was a man called Hanani. Verse 2, then Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left with the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And you have their answer in verse 3. And this really upset Nehemiah. We are told that the remnant that are left of the captive there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And look at the effect it had in Nehemiah, verse 4. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And in verses 5, right down to verse 11, you have a most remarkable prayer. And in it, you can see how burdened Nehemiah was for his homeland and for the state of the city of Jerusalem in particular. And he certainly was intent in doing something about it. Notice the last verse, verse 11. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. This man was the king, King Ahasuerus, King Artaxerxes, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now, that's the nature of the work, and Nehemiah was getting involved in that. Completely different from the role he had with the king in the king's court, in the king's palace, in the king's house. To go and lead a number of people, a large number of people, in building work. Completely different. But the Lord was calling him to it. I wonder, brethren and sisters and young people here, would God have been putting something on your heart by way of work for him? You've been thinking about it, mulling it over in your mind, wondering what to do about it. You see, the Bible makes it absolutely plain, totally plain, that works have no part in our salvation. Somebody once wrote, I cannot work my soul to save, for that's already done. But I can work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. And while it is true there is no room for works in the plan of salvation on our part, we can't do it, yet God wants us to work for him after we are saved. Whenever Paul was writing to Titus, it's a little epistle with three chapters in it, and on at least five occasions, he makes reference to working for the Lord. And he's telling Titus, urge the people, Titus, that they be zealous of good works, that they maintain good works. You remember whenever Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he went on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God before hath ordained that we should walk in them. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And on one occasion he himself said, my meat is to do his will, that's the Father's will, and finish the work that he gave me to do. And in another, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. So men and women and young people, there's work to be done for the Lord. He said in the Gospel of Matthew, one of his parables, that a certain man had two sons to whom he said, go work today in my vineyard. God wants you and me to work. And I'm just wondering, has God been putting something in your heart by way of work to do for him. And that brings me to the second thing I want to draw your attention to. And that is not only the activity that he purposed, but the discovery he made. And the discovery is this, that God had put something in his heart. Now that's tremendous. God had been involved with Nehemiah's involvement in the work. God had called him to it. God had sent him to be involved in it. God had laid the burden upon him, as we have noticed in chapter 1. But notice chapter 2. We find Nehemiah before the king here. Verse 1. It came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. Remember, Nehemiah said that at the end of verse of chapter 1 and verse 11, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now, the cupbearer was the one who brought the wine to the king. The cupbearer was the one who tasted the wine in case it was poisoned. And this particular day, Nehemiah seemed to have a very crestfallen countenance, a heavy countenance. You were not allowed to be that way whenever you come into the king's presence. You either could have been dismissed or destroyed. It's no wonder that Nehemiah was afraid. He knew that he was carrying a burden, and now it was beginning to show in his countenance. Notice what he says in the middle of verse 1. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. He was afraid of what might happen to him. And also, if he missed the opportunity to put in his spoke for the burden that he was carrying for his homeland. So the king noticed this. In verse 3, Nehemiah gave the response, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? And then he spoke about the city of his father's sepulchres lying in waste. Now, the king said in verse 4, for what dost thou make request? What a change. My, things are moving. God is working quickly. And it's very interesting to notice that Nehemiah just didn't say right away, not until after he had shut up a prayer to the Lord in heaven. Notice what it says in that fourth verse. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And then here's the request that he made in verse 5. I said to the king, if it please the king and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. That was on his heart. That was in his mind. That was his intention. I want to go back and get involved in building up the walls of the city again. Now, where did that all come from? Well, it was what God put in his heart. If you read chapter 1, you don't see it so much there that he was wanting to do that. He was burdened for it. But he didn't say he was going to do it himself until he came to the end of verse 11 when he says, of chapter 1, prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. This was his intention. I want to go back to build up the walls of Jerusalem again and set up the gates. God had put that in his heart. That's a tremendous truth. My dear friend, let me say this to you. The heart plays a very important place in Christianity and in our lives. I'm not talking now about the physical organ that pumps the blood through our arteries and veins, but I'm talking about how it's used in the Bible. Sometimes the heart is used for the mind. The Lord Jesus Christ said to critics one day, what reason ye in your hearts? Sometimes the heart is used for the whole being. And that is that we should love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. My son, give me thy heart, the wise man says in the book of Proverbs. And in another verse there, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So the heart is the mainspring of our being, the seat of our emotions and our affections. So the heart can be used sometimes for the mind, and sometimes it can be used for the affections. But here's something else what God does with it. He puts things into the heart. That's a tremendous truth, ladies and gentlemen. It's so important to keep that in mind. I'd love to turn you to these, but the time would prevent it. So just let me give you the reference and give you the substance of the reference. Job says in chapter 23 and verse 16 that God makes his heart soft. So God can work with our hearts and soften it. We read in Exodus 9 and verse 12 that the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And my dear friend, you can harden your heart by your resistance to the gospel. And then God comes in and he reinforces that. And if that happens to you, you could live to be a ripe old age, but never get saved because you've hardened your heart irreparably like Pharaoh. And I would say to you in the light of this gospel mission that has been taking place in your church, if you have any interest at all, any concern in your heart, quickly flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin. Seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. And trust him as your Savior. You're having a wonderful opportunity tonight in the last service of the campaign. Seize it, lest your heart be hardened. But we read that God not only softens the heart and hardens the heart, but he strengthens the heart. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. He opens the heart. Do you remember whenever Paul came to Philippi? He joined himself with some women who were wont to pray down at the riverside. And among those women there was a lady called Lydia. And the Bible says that God opened her heart, that she attended to the things that were spoken by Paul. Oh, what a tremendous truth. God can open the hearts of men and women and girls and boys that they might receive the word of God. And oh, may God do that in this very service today. But let me say something else what he does. He puts things into the heart. Let me read to you a verse of scripture from the book of Ezra, just back there at chapter 6. I'll read to you at the end of that chapter at verse 22. Verse 21 and verse 22. The children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all things as had separated them unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. God turned their heart. God began to work with the heart, turn the heart. We read in Proverbs 21 and 1 that the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord like the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Now turn over, if you're at Ezra chapter 6, to the next chapter, chapter 7, verse 27 and 28. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. He put that in the heathen king's heart to do something to beautify God's house. To me, that's something amazing, and it's something wonderful. I want you to turn to this one. If you go back to chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 7, a wonderful incident took place here. David one day was relaxed from all his warfares and responsibilities. And he sat and he said, I'm sitting here and I'm dwelling in a house such as I'm in. But the house of God, the tabernacle, its curtains and boards, he says, I would like to do something. And the prophet Nathan came to him. First of all, Nathan says, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. He was giving David the go-ahead to start a temple, to build a house for God. But whenever Nathan returned home, God said, Nathan, I have another message for you for David. I want you to go back to him and tell him he's not to build the house of God. We learn the reason why elsewhere, because David was a man of war. His hands were stained with blood. He had shed the blood of many people. And God says, it's not for you to build the house of God, David. Your son will do that. And we know, many of us here, that Solomon was the one whom God used to build the house of God. But God said to Nathan, you tell him that, but tell him that I am going to bless his house and his kingdom. And let him know that I have gracious designs for him. So Nathan did that. I want you to see David's response. Notice verse 25, 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 25. We're breaking in at David's prayer. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. God put a prayer in the heart of David to pray. And that's why David was praying and said, do as I have said. Men and women and young people again, let me ask you, has God put not only something in your heart to do, as he did with Nehemiah, but a prayer in your heart to do, to pray along a line that you might bring before the Lord? You should pray that God would. God does put things into the heart of people to pray. And this is what Nehemiah is saying. He says, God put something in my heart to do, and this is why I want to go to my homeland again, sire. I want to go back to build up the walls of Jerusalem. So if you read on down chapter 2 of Nehemiah, we didn't have time to do it. Nehemiah says, well, or the king says, Nehemiah, how long are you going to be away for? And Nehemiah said, so I set him a time. But Nehemiah went for something else. Not only permission to go, talk about striking when the iron's hot. He says, would you give me supplies? And would you give me documentation like passport control to get me through the different areas? And all of that. Is it any wonder that Nehemiah said to the people after he made a survey, you see the distress we're in? Then I told them of the good hand of my God that was upon me. And by that he meant getting his release and getting all the supplies and documentation to come back to Jerusalem to get working, that Jerusalem would be no more a reproach. But there's one last thing. Not only have we seen the activity that he purposed, I want to do, and we've seen what it was to build the work of God again in Jerusalem. And not only have we seen the discovery that he made, God put this in my heart. But notice lastly, the secrecy that he maintained. We're back in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 12, we read these words. Neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. I kept it to myself, he says. He's letting us know now as he wrote the book later. And we know it, but nobody knew it at the time. God did something in his life. God did something in his heart. And he says, I'm keeping it close to myself and in not telling anybody about it. Why did he not say it? Why did he want to be so secretive about it? Well, I believe there were reasons. There were enemies about. Enemies that were just waiting to pounce. Notice chapter 2, verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?" And if you read on through the book of Nehemiah, you'll see that they came back and intimidated him. They were enemies. And I believe that Nehemiah says, "I'm keeping this to myself, because if I start divulging it before all my plans are laid, the enemy's going to hear of my strategy, and then they're going to seek to countermand that, counteract." He was very wise, kept it to himself at that particular stage. Notice again verse 1 of chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down the stone wall." See how they were denigrating the work and intimidating the servant of the Lord. They did that without Nehemiah telling them what was on his heart to do. But I think there was another reason. He kept this even from his own people, those from whom he would expect support in God's work. They didn't know. Why? Well, in all likelihood, he felt that if they started talking about it too soon, there was going to be a dissipation of the whole project. Nehemiah wanted his plans and the concept of it formulated perfectly before he would undertake to tell anybody. And if people started talking about it, people would come and put in their two and tuppence. They would give their ideas. Nehemiah had his plans that he believed were from God. And it was only whenever he knew it was time to move that he later divulged what he was doing. So there are times that we need to keep to ourselves things that the Lord has laid in our heart, talk to us about. And then when the time is right, his time, we can say something about it. Do you remember whenever Mary had the visit from the shepherds? We're coming into the Christmas season soon, and no doubt we'll be thinking of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ with regard to his humanity. But the shepherds came, and they had told about the angels coming to visit them, and they told other people about it as well. Let me read you some words from Luke chapter 2, verse 17. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." She didn't talk about them. She pondered them in her heart. And 12 years later, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was just a lad, brought up to Jerusalem with his parents when he was 12, hearing the doctors of law and really confounding them with the questions he was asking and the answers he was given, and they went home without him. Remember how they discovered that he wasn't in their procession on the way back? And they began to search around all the caravans, if I may call it that, that would have been there. And they said, "Have you seen and mentioned the Lord Jesus' name?" No. So they had to retrace their steps and go down back to Jerusalem again, up to the city. And that's where they saw him in the temple with these learned doctors of theology. And then his mom said, "Why have you done this to us? Your father and I have sought you sorrowing." And the Lord Jesus said, "Wist ye not that I might be about my Father's business?" That startled Mary. And then they eventually got home, and at the end of Luke chapter 2, we read these words, "They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." Never talked them over. Kept them in her heart. Pondered them in her mind. But they were there. Let me finish with this. When the Apostle Paul got wonderfully converted on the road to Damascus, the Lord called him to preach. And this is what we read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. "When it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." He never told a soul. He kept it in his heart. And the wise man in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you may remember, where he sets out, "To everything there is a time and a season and a purpose under the sun." And in one of those verses, verse 7, he says, a time, at least in that section, a time to speak and a time to keep silence. Oh, the time will come whenever we can divulge this if it's the Lord's will. But I'm just saying this to you today, my dear hearer. These things that come into your mind, it may be that the Lord is moving you. Not necessarily to go into full-time service, though that's possible. And I would that it would happen more often, and young men and young women from our churches would find their way under the call of God to go into the Whitfield College of the Bible to train for Christian service. But not only that, maybe to go to someone, send them a text message, an email, or a nice card, or a letter, or a telephone call. Someone who needs to hear from you. Someone whom your contact with would cheer up no end. Maybe to speak to some friend about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe a son, maybe a daughter, a brother or sister, a mum or dad. If God puts it in your heart, act on it. You don't have to divulge the details of it now. Leave it for another time when God would open the way. But know this. If God is putting it in your heart to get involved in Christian service, then be like Nehemiah, do, and realize that this is the call of God that God has put in your breast, in your heart, and given you a heart for, to be involved in his work. You'll never regret responding to it. Nehemiah didn't. The burden was there. The desire, it was the burden of desire. And God enabled him to accomplish the mission. And he will for you as well. Let's bow together in prayer.